Good morning, everybody, and welcome again to a very chilly Ennis Reserve. I think they say that there's some frost out west. Well, it'll warm up before long. This week I posed a question, and that question is, what is the essential ingredient of the Christian life, or in essence, for our spirituality? What's the most important thing? So what do you think? Well, I believe that the key that starts the motor for the Christian life is faith. It's faith. I know. We've heard faith all of our lives and we feel like we know all about it. But I believe it's the biggest thing in our Christian walk. See, I believe if our faith does not affect our everyday life, then we need to get rid of it and find something else that does. Well, I know that's a strong statement, but if we believe or what we believe doesn't affect us, then it's basically useless. Let me take this just a step further. Spiritually speaking, if we don't have faith, we can't even be saved. Remember the Apostle Paul said, by grace are you saved through faith. Grace and faith secures our eternity. The only problem is that's still way out there. I mean, we're saved now and we'll enjoy eternity once we get there, and His grace and our faith has secured that. But I believe that faith for right now is essential, and it needs to be obvious in our everyday life. You see, our faith should take us into places that we would not normally go. A man by the name of E.W. Kenyon said, faith will lead you where you cannot walk. Reason or common sense has never been a mountain climber. So let me ask you, where is your faith taking you that you would not normally go? Let's dive into this discussion on faith. But first, let's ask God to open our eyes. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and in the beautiful environment. We are so blessed that you've allowed us to have this. It's been windy throughout the week, but today it's beautiful, it's perfect. Now, Lord, help us just to look at this important concept about faith. Help us to understand its essential part, not only in our salvation and our eternity, but in our daily walk. Help us to get that, then engage that. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's get into what the Bible has to say about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We hear this verse so much. We just repeat it or quote it or read it and we go on and do something else. But today I want to stop and just kind of wait a little while we're looking at this and see if we can make it come alive or real. So let's just rephrase it just a little bit. Faith is the reality of the things that we hope for. It's the reality of the things we hope for. You see, our hopes in our dreams and our imaginations, that's not just random things. Some of our hopes are God-driven and God-given. And our faith transforms those dreams into reality. Now, perhaps you can't see or touch the things that you're trusting God for. Well, according to the Bible, faith is the guarantee for the things you just cannot see. What a promise. And once we get our heads around this concept of faith, and in the words of a Disney song, our faith opens a whole new world. The trouble is, most Christians never live in the whole new world of faith. So what does real faith look like? Well, fortunately, we have some great examples to look at. But before we dive into that, I want to clarify an important element about faith. Today, a lot of people have a lot of faith in a lot of things. So a lot of people, very obviously, have a lot of faith in themselves. Others have faith in the universe, or some have faith in Mother Earth. But that's not what we're talking about here today. The faith that we're talking about that will revolutionize our lives is a faith in the Creator God of the Bible, whose name is Jehovah, and who said of himself, "I am that I am." That's the one that we're talking about having faith in today. Now let's look at Hebrews 11, verse number 3. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. You see, it is our faith that grasps the reality that God created everything from nothing. For me, I don't need evidences or arguments, because faith in God is the evidence and the argument for God creating all things simply by speaking the words. Can you get your head around that? The God that we're trusting simply spoke the universe into existence. What do you think he can do in your life and mine if we'll just believe? Now let's look at some people whose faith changed their lives. First is Abel. The Bible says that Abel, the second son of the first family of the human race, believed God and he did what was right. But something to note, that faith cost him his life. Yet even today, thousands and thousands of years later, he speaks to us, though he is dead. Then there was a man by the name of Enoch that pleased God so much with his life that God took him to heaven without even dying. Why? It's because his faith was so strong that it pleased God immensely. And we all know, if you want to please God, then we have to have faith in him. Listen, all of us want to be trusted. All of us want people to have faith in us. And God is no different. We need to trust him. Now go with me into another scene. God tells you, "Hey, I've had enough of this place, so I'm going to send the rain and the floods and just destroy everything." Well, the Bible doesn't say it, but poor old Noah could be forgiven for saying, "What's rain?" Because nobody had ever seen rain before. But Noah had a life-changing faith in the God who spoke to him, and he built a boat just like he was told to do, and it took him a long, long time to do it, and then the rains came. So think about that. What would you have done if you'd never seen rain? God says he's going to send rain and destroy the world. What would you have done? You see, what God told Noah was on the level of the make-believe, or at best, nightmare. What would people think if he did it? But Noah had faith in God and built that boat, even though people were making fun of him. Again, let me ask, what would you do if it took you many years to build that boat and people are laughing, making fun? What would you do? You see, that is that whole new world of faith that I'm talking about. You might be saying, "Well, God doesn't do things like that today." Well, I wonder why. Could it be that God has spoken, but someone is just not believing? Now, let's move into the amazing life of Abraham. And again, we've heard of Abraham all of our lives. And because of that, I'm going to ask you just to, as well as you can, just forget what you know and let's start fresh with Abraham. Abram was a rich man living in a well-to-do pagan city, and somehow God reaches out and speaks to him and tells him to pack up the family and move. But he also tells him to go into the wilderness without really knowing where he was going to end up. What would you do? Come on now. What would you do? Abram was supposed to leave his job, his family, and all that he knew and go to a place that at that time was totally unknown. You see, the wilderness was a mystical place, and in their minds it was full of bad things that you would never take your family into. But Abram was told to go, and he trusted God, and he went. Again, what would you do? And finally, after Abram and Sarah got there, they didn't have any children. God had promised them that they were going to have a son together. Then they hit their 70s and no son. And then the 80s, still no child. And then Abraham was right up next to 100 and Sarah 90. What would you be thinking about a child at this point? Well, absolutely hopeless, humanly speaking. But all of a sudden, when they were both long past childbearing years, Sarah falls pregnant and Isaac was born. Does that make common sense? No. Is it airy-fairy? Yes, absolutely. But did it happen? You bet it did. Why? Because Abraham chose to have faith in what God said, something that you and I can do this very day. You see, all of these are life-changing events in the lives of normal people that chose to trust God with what He said. That is the whole new world of faith. And lastly for this week, the Bible says that if all these people that we have just looked at had looked back to where they were before they started their experience with God, they maybe would have never ever enjoyed the experience that God had created for them if they had looked back. I want you to think about that. Far too many people in our day start out well as they trust God, but when things get tough or even maybe a little boring, they start looking back to where they started. And that's a sad place to be, because just as the Bible said, is if you look back, you'll risk missing the life that God has for you. As for me, I want to live in the whole new world that God has designed for Julie and I to live in. So how about you? How about you? Are you going to allow your faith to change every day of your life? Not just your eternity, but every single day of your life. Well, I invite you to do so. Father, help us to get our heads around this. Help us to realize that faith and grace secures our eternity. But we have to trust you every single day. And if we will live in the whole new world of faith in God, you can do some absolutely amazing and remarkable things, greater than we could ever imagine, if we will just trust you and move when you tell us to move. Help us to do that. Lord, I'm tired of sitting still. It's time to move. God, help us to grasp this opportunity and move into our future. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of the time we have a song following the Sunday morning message, but today I would like to leave you with a very powerful statement from C.H. Spurgeon. He wrote, "Faith is a principle which has its roots deeper than feelings. We believe whether we see or not. We believe whether we feel or not." May I add, when Our faith is deeper than our feelings, then we live in that brand new world of faith. Our faith must be deeper, stronger, and more powerful than our feelings.